Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. It is just after 1 o'clock. I am Pete Dillon. This is Cravings. I have a show for you today. We continue on our journey to the orgy of indulgence that is the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. I do have the fabulous Adam Cash from Union Dining joining me today. We're going to talk all about the new terrace there at Union Dining. We're also going to talk about a couple of events that Adam's doing. Oh, we're going to talk to Dan Sims and Pearls from Madame Brussels. I don't know how we're going to fit it all in. Stick with me. Yes, we are talking cravings. Good afternoon. Just after 1 o'clock, Pete Dillon with you, taking you right through until 2 o'clock before we're joined by Hannah with Little Fish, everything that is unsigned and independent. Thank you to the fabulous team at Detours, of course, and thank you to our gorgeous newsreader. I just love it. I really do. Look, I've got a great big show ahead. We're still on that journey to the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. It's just weeks away. There'll be some guest presenters of this program during the festival because, well, clearly I'll be in a gutter somewhere having a little bit of a drink, trying to get through the orgy of indulgence because the festival is 20 days. Anybody who's been listening over the last few weeks would know that it's going to be a very long festival. And someone who's looking forward to this festival, who is an integral part of the Melbourne Food and Wine scene, he's been around for a little while. His name is Adam Cash. Adam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
Welcome back to Cravings. We've had you in before.
Yes, yes.
Are you excited about the festival? Because there's so much happening.
I am very excited and a little bit daunted by, I think, we're very committed at Union Dining and very involved, a little bit more so than we first thought we might be. But no, right. That's good. It's the 20th anniversary of the festival, so we haven't, you couldn't pick a better year to be involved.
Well, and this is Union's first year involved with the festival?
Well, last year we did participate in two events. Mm-hmm. It was before we'd opened, but under our banner we were involved in the Front of House All-Stars,
which marvellously sold out in about a week.
Yes.
This year.
So this year I'm involved in that again. So last year, before the restaurant opened, Nikki, the head chef, who's my business partner, she prepared most of the dish that we served at that event at my parents' kitchen.
So, oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then occupational health and safety and all of those things taken into consideration.
There was lots of refrigeration. It was fine. And then the other event was the sommelier's appropriately long lunch, which Nikki cooked.
Dangerously long lunch.
Yes. Potentially inebriating lunch. Yeah.
There are still some tickets available, I believe, for the Somers Long Lunch, and we'll be speaking to Dan Sims about that very event a little later.
Excellent.
In the program.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little segue for you. In Front of House All Stars again. Now, this is a Street Smart initiative. It's for charity.
Yeah.
This year being held at Cutler & Co. I know there's a wait list and that waitlist has been there since the first week in December when tickets went on sale. Basically sold out in a week.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's a fantastic result, and I think it's a really great cause to support. It's my third year that I'll be involved.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dinner that was put together. I think it's been running for 4 or 5 years now.
In Sydney?
Yeah. No, it started here. Luke Stringer,
who is now in Brisbane.
When he was back at Oyster. And then that restaurant morphed into
Mezzo.
Mm-hmm. So the dinner started there, and Sam Christie from Long Grain and Sean from Ladro and Simon Denton from Izakaya now.
Because Verge is sort of verged off now.
Yeah, so they were the founding members. Mm. And there was also from Jacques Ramon, Chris Young, who was the maitre d'.
Now, Chris is also overseas now.
Yes, in Hong Kong. Mm. Shanghai. Shanghai.
And is it Alex Herbert from...
I'm drawing a blank as well.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. Anyway, look, it's a great big event. It's essentially going to be 7 front of house all stars. So this celebrates. I don't want to say the wait stuff, but it celebrates those front of house people.
Yeah, I guess the service side of the restaurants.
We do celebrate chefs a lot. We celebrate wine a lot.
It is one event of the Food and Wine Festival that really does, I suppose, focus on that front of house service aspect of restaurants, and I think it's unique in that sense.
And a collaboration with some winemakers. Who are going to supply the wine or match the wine to each course. I think it's 7 or 8 courses.
It is going to be quite a decadent dinner. It's 7 courses, 7 wines, 7 restaurants, 7 front of house people. So
And this year, the very gorgeous Zoe
Ladyman
from Libertine is joining you. So there's yourself, there's Zoe, there's Simon, there's
Sean from Ladro. There's Leanne Altman from Cutler & Co.
who are hosting the event.
Yes.
I'm trying to look.
Quentin from Ezard.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I think there's one more.
There might be one more as well. Yeah.
But it'll come to us at some stage.
I should have brought my program guide with me.
I should have it here on the screen. So, like we said, that is sold out. So, a terrific result. Mm. We'll talk through the next little while about some other things that you're doing because you've got, Randall Graham, who is the winemaker and owner of Bonnie Doon in California, at a dinner with Max Allen, which sounds fantastic. And Icons of the Yarra Valley, which, look, is also going to be another cracking show. We're also going to speak to Miss Pearls today. She's going to run us through a couple of things that are happening at Madame Brussels, one of which is the Aphrodisiac Orgy.
I'm sure she is the most qualified person in Melbourne to speak on that subject.
I believe she could be. It's all about foods as aphrodisiacs and looking back through the centuries. Pearls and Dan Simmons will also host up on the terrace the How Not to Drink Wine Like a Wanker event, which is so popular every year. It's sold out again in minutes. It's such a fun event. Happens in the first week of the festival as well. And look, we could talk about festival events for hours, but we might take some few messages and then jump into a track. This is Cravings, Joy 94.9. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS number. You can email onair@joy.org.au or you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. Pete Dillon with you here on Cravings, taking you through until 2 o'clock, 0427 Joy 949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can indeed send a tweet to cravings_joy949. In the studio with me is the very delightful Adam Cash from Union Dining, and we're taking a bit of a wander through some of the events that are happening for Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, including events that are happening at Union Dining. But let's talk first about a new addition, maybe the evolution of Union. So for people who don't know where it is.
Yeah, certainly. We are at 270 Swan Street in Richmond, beautiful old building called Union House.
That was, and it's had rather a checkered past from memory.
Yes, it was built as a hotel and operated as such for a very long time. It was built in 1871, but we went to Richmond Historical Society and they told us some of the other guises that it had.
Am I led to believe it could have been a house of ill repute?
Well, we know there was an SP bookie out the back, and I think they sold illegal liquor as well. I'm not quite sure whether the afternoon delight was being paid for. it did certainly go through a lot of transformations before it became a restaurant. So certainly for the last 40 years it was a Greek restaurant, and then we opened about 9.5 months ago.
And it's clearly going very well. Yourself and Nikki Reimer.
Yes.
Reimer.
Yeah.
Who is well known around Melbourne Traps. She's a very talented lady.
Mm-hmm.
Runs a very tight ship in her kitchen, I understand.
She certainly does. Yeah. I don't go anywhere near it. She looks after the kitchen, I look after the floor, and that's made
and
for
never
a happy,
shall meet
that's
until
made
after
for a
work.
Very happy partnership, so we leave it at that.
Now tell us about the new terrace, because there's a bit of a theme running through today's program.
Yeah, well, I guess we opened the dining room last year, and we had this wonderful space upstairs, sort of runs across the back of the restaurant, and it looks out over sort of Richmond rooftops towards the Yarra.
Mm.
And it wasn't part of our planning area, so the city of Yarra didn't really allow us to trade up there. So we went through the process of putting in applications with the council, and yes, we finally got our planning approval, and last week we opened our rooftop terrace. So it's got a separate menu. Everything's from the grill, so quite a simple sort of European grill style.
So into the restaurant, up the stairs, where you have an upstairs dining room.
Oh, there's an upstairs. I guess it's a function space. Yeah,
right.
We don't really seat a la carte bookings there. It's more for events.
Mm.
But then, there's a separate sort of exit or staircase that goes up to the terrace.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's started well.
It has. Mm. Yes, despite the inclement weather that we've. Well, I know that Thursday night wasn't so nice, but
I cannot understand this weather at all.
Well, we've only had one night where there's been a little touch of rain, but other than that, it's been terrific.
Yeah. And the public, because we love a rooftop here in Melbourne.
Melbourne loves a rooftop. I think, you know, and our view is delightful. There's trees and old Richmond cottages, so we sort of look across that to the river, and with a bit of fresh air and some sunshine or some stars in the evening, it's a great setting. A
nice glass of something grapey.
Or a rosé or a
Well, we're still in the middle of the rosé revolution.
We certainly are. Viva la revolution.
Yes, indeed. And look, it has been quite a busy month or a busy season of rosé drinking. It's also been the summer of Riesling.
Yes.
Now here's an idea. We've been talking about there's not enough events happening for the summer of Riesling in Melbourne, so maybe we need to do something on your terrace next year.
I think we should.
Riesling over the rooftops. I can see it happening now. Adam Cash is my guest here to talk through some events for Melbourne Food and Wine. Talk about the terrace. Let's start with Sunday, March 11, you're hosting Randall Graham. Now, he's the winemaker and owner of Bonnie Doone in California. Am I right to ask you, do you know where in California? Sonoma, Napa, that
area,
out of San
yeah.
Francisco?
Yeah.
Lovely.
He is a very interesting man. He originally was growing Pinot Noir. That was his sort of holy grail.
Mm.
And then he chucked it all away. And went very heavily into Rhone Valley varieties, and he's got a few nicknames like the Rhone Deranger, or he's an interesting
fellow.
A bit
of a quirky character.
Very dynamic man, and now his I suppose his big standard that he waves the flag about it is biodynamics. He's very much a sort of single vineyard, biodynamic, sort of natural wine aficionado and champion.
Hence the involvement of one Max Allen.
Max Allen,
yes,
who's co-hosting the dinner with him. And, I'm sure that the two of them together will be a very potent combination.
Well, for those who don't know Max, he himself is quite the character.
He is.
He's been a guest here on this program.
Makes his own cider. He's busy on a new project with some apples that are being grown at Rip and Lee.
Mm.
He's very heavily into farmhouse cider, biodynamics, playing the banjo.
The mandolin.
Oh, the mandolin.
The mandolin rather than the banjo. I have a fond memory a couple of years ago at the Alternative Varieties Wine Show in Mildura.
Mm.
About 9:30 at night, we'd had a big lunch at Stefano's, all done at 5 o'clock. 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, we're at the bowling club, Mildura Bowling Club, yep. all of us barefoot. Some of us may be a little over-refreshed.
Ouch.
And there were guitars and violins and Max with his mandolin. Kim Chalmers, who studied music from Chalmers Wines, she had guitars out and there were violins and there were all sorts of things. People singing harmonies, all whilst drinking beer and playing barefoot bowls at the Mildura Bowling Club. Never has an evening been more inspirational.
An idyllic setting you're describing there, Pete.
I'm just trying to go back to Randall Gam and Graham. Sorry,
Graham. See. Yes.
For those who don't know, the Sonoma Napa region sits to the west of. To the east of San Francisco.
Northeast. Northeast.
Well, we can't go west because we'll be
can't
a bit
go
of
west.
War, so we'll be at Alcatraz. And is a prodigious wine producing area.
It's huge.
Have you been over?
Yes, I have. About 2 years ago in October. Spent about
we were
a week
at the same time.
Spent about a week in Napa
there.
Valley.
And it's gorgeous.
Another week in San Francisco, an incredible city. It's a great region to
one
visit.
One of my favourite cities in the world. I was also there 2 years ago, October.
You mentioned Alcatraz, possibly one of the finest museum/historical pieces to visit.
Yeah, and now they made a TV show about it with Sam Neill.
Oh.
Called Alcatraz. Did you do the Blazing Saddles, hire the push bike and ride across the Golden Gate Bridge?
I didn't. No, I drove.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Cruised around Sausalito.
I know why they call it
Saddle Sore.
Blazing Saddles, because my poor saddle was blazing after riding across. And of course, stupid me, the guy who hired me the bike said, "Oh no, it's all pretty flat. You'll be fine." San Francisco is one of the hilliest cities in the freaking world.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to the bridge itself, I'd almost had two heart attacks because I'm, they don't call me Tubby for nothing. Very unfit. Rode across the bridge to Sausalito, put the bike on the ferry to
get
back.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Very, very good idea. We will talk about the second event a little later, but I'm quite looking forward to this, the Icons of the Yarra Valley. Five wineries presenting two wines in quite a structured tasting with the other god of wine in Melbourne, James Halliday.
Yes. This was an event. This was actually the first event that we, at Union Dining, that we put together for the festival. And it was with Juan Turner Estate, Mount Mary, and Yeringberg. So it was those three vineyards were the first that sort of came together. And then we also spoke with Yarra Yarra and Yarra Yering. So it's those five vineyards. Mm. And then James Halliday became involved. He's sort of emceeing the tasting.
He lives at Coldstream, which is...
I suppose another very well-established and highly regarded vineyard in the Yarra Valley. So although we're not tasting his wines, he's going to be speaking about the other five. So an amazing tasting and a great dinner, I expect.
Adam, we'll be back and we'll talk about that event a little further, but we do have some messages to play and then there'll be another song.
Mm.
And the song might give you a hint about who we're talking to next. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I'm joined by Adam Cash in the studio. He is from Union Dining. We're going to come back and talk a bit more about Yarra Valley events because you've got so much going on at Union Dining for Melbourne Food and Wine that you'll be running around chasing your tail, Adam Cash.
I will be.
And Nikki will be running around probably chasing your tail as well.
I'm sure she will
with
be.
With a wooden spoon. I can just say it. Now, the reason we played No Aphrodisiac is because, of course, one of my favourite events for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival is held at, well, I can't say it's one of my favourite places, somewhere I frequently, which is Madame Brussels. And joining us, we were talking terraces before. She's going to talk about their new terrace and all sorts of things, is the fabulous Miss Pearls. Good afternoon, darling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm fabulous, as always.
Sounding fabulous.
I'm needing a glass of something pink, I think.
Pink bits.
Oh, do
We've
keep.
We've got lots of them down at Madame Russell's.
Now, for those who are uneducated, because I've actually, you'll laugh, but in the last couple of months, I've said to a couple of people who live in Melbourne, "Oh, I'll meet you at Madame Russell's," and they're like, "Where is it?"
How could they not know?
I don't know.
Have they just turned 18?
No, one of them had just come from a convent. Pearls, Madame Brussels, of course, iconic already, one of Vernon Chalker's premises on Bourke Street above La Spaghetta Tarta. And am I led to believe it's also above a house of some ill repute?
sure how ill it is, but it's a Japanese
gentleman's club,
ski bar or something, where you can go in there and Japanese girls will laugh and you pay the money for it.
I'm sure it's just another karaoke den.
Yes, that's all
it costs. You like $20 to get a nip of Shivers Regal.
Oh dear.
Hilarious. Yes. And it's all decked out 1970s. It's quite bizarre.
Oh, it sounds like it's worth a visit on my way up to Madame Brussels. Now, your new terrace, which is, as Adam very nicely put it earlier, your grandstand.
The grandstand.
It's fantastic.
One of the biggest terraces in, I think of the whole of Australia. We call it Madame Brussels just got bigger on top.
So it's like having a boob job.
And look, it's an enhancement. Beautiful, because it just reaches up above the trees and you can see more of fabulous Melbourne, you know. It's like, and it's gorgeous. It's all undercover. It's all heated. So on, you know, a wet day or a cool evening, you'll be warm and snuggy.
And you can still be outdoors enjoying that very serious part of Madame Brussels, which is in fact sitting outside with a jug of cocktail, you know, some sandwiches or some cupcakes and a blankie if you get a little chilly.
Yes, that's right. Look, it's fantastic. It just means that we're more accessible in winter or the cooler months, and you can still have that beautiful Madame Brussels experience when it's a bit chilly.
Well, that's it, as we should. Now, you're joining the fabulous Hollywood dance, Dan Hollywood Sims, for How Not to Drink Wine Like a Wanker, which is a sold-out event already, isn't it?
Oh, I think it sold out in a day. It's so much fun, and I've already mentioned to Dan that maybe next year we do a couple of them over the season, because number one, it's funny, it's informative, and you get to drink like really nice booze for, I don't know, what is it, $35 or something like that?
Well, some ridiculous amount of money, but as we say, it's sold out, so not really advertising for the minute. And then, of course, there is, I certainly think it's one of the more interesting events for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, is the aphrodisiac orgy. Let's take a wander through that idea, Pearls.
Well, Matt Preston actually came up with it. We had a chat about what we should be doing for the Food and Wine Festival, and we came up with an aphrodisiac orgy because it's so Madame Brussels. So it's basically, you know, 3 hours of debauchery.
But involving food, of course. Yeah. We're not actually having an orgy as such, in the traditional sense of the word, one might say. But you take us on an exploration. Clothes remain on, I do believe. Exploring centuries of erotic food and drinks. What, you know, people might know that oysters could be a bit of an aphrodisiac. What are some of the others that we sort of don't think of?
Chili.
Chili?
It puts fire into you, see?
Yes. I'm always worried about chili the next day, of course, Pearls.
It cleans you out. It's good for you.
I don't know that it's so aphrodisiacal. Something like that.
And, of course, chocolate.
Oh, yeah, chocolate sex. You see, because I don't eat chocolate, really, I don't have a sweet tooth.
You should from time to time. You know. I don't love chocolate. But from time to time, I have a little nibble.
I like some really, really dark chocolate, like 85% cocoa chocolate, grated over some venison or some game. It sort of
See,
works
there you
me.
Go. You're getting, you're packing your aphrodisiacs in. You know it.
Now, I hear that figs are supposed to be an aphrodisiac.
Oh, look, most fruits are, but of course, figs. You know, the fruit of love, and pomegranates.
How are pomegranates aphrodisiacs?
I think that's because they're so high in vitamin C and antioxidants that they make you feel good. So if you think of a food that's associated with aphrodisiac and sex, it's usually a food that's very good for you.
I'm liking the sound. It's blueberries.
Oh, big aphrodisiac, especially if you stick them up your nose.
Now, the peaches, they're quite a luscious. Peaches and mangoes, sort of luscious and
I
sexy.
Guess it's just like the texture of them as well, and the fragrance and stuff. Watermelon's a really good one.
Is it really?
Yeah. Avocado.
Now, tell me, how is avocado an aphrodisiac?
Well, once again, it's just packed and packed and packed and packed with really good stuff and really good fats. And so somehow that transforms into your brain, makes brain change, and you go, oh, I am just so horny right now.
Right. there's a song I should have played. And rambutans. Now, rambutans look like test of clay.
Rambutan. Look, I just threw them
I
in
think
there
she was slurping a cup of tea just then.
You know what? They look like hairy little things.
Yeah, they look like test of clay.
But then you open them up and there's this, like, jewel-like fruit that is just so refreshing in your mouth.
I don't like rambutans and I don't like lychees.
Oh, I love them. Oh,
it's the texture I can't deal with. It's a bit revolting. It's like marshmallows and meringue and...
Yeah, right, okay.
And then, of course, booze. Now, booze is traditionally not understood to have aphrodisiac properties, unless you have 5 or 6 and you put your beer goggles on.
Beer goggles, yes. Yes. Very arousing.
I think it's all about getting you into the mood. So if you need 6, sometimes I only need 1. But, you know, and I like a champagne.
Sorry, Adam and I just both looked at one another and blushed.
and I like a glass of champagne, and it always makes me very excited about anything.
Right. Oh, the laugh itself is wicked. So there are still tickets, I believe, for your aphrodisiac...
It's actually quite a big event. It's, I don't know, there's about 160 people.
Right, and it is actually rated 18 plus. It's on Sunday the 18th
Look,
of March.
Look, there is some nudity. There's lots of...
again, Adam and I blush.
About it. So, we've got Anthony Cleese and Jess doing some work, and if you know their work, they're pretty out there.
Yes.
All the staff obviously get dressed up. We also encourage all our customers to get dressed up in kind of, I don't know, sexy clothes.
For me, it's a wheat sack.
It's sounding like a key party to
yes,
me.
And songs permitted. Now, the flip-flops or...
Oh, I'm just going to leave that up.
Yeah, I thought you would. Sunday the 18th of March at 7 p.m. you will find, of course, the Aphrodisiac Orgy in the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival Guide. If you haven't been and experienced a bit of a naughty night at Madame Brussels, I certainly think this is the finest possible introduction to a naughty night. You'd agree, Pearls?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've even got Polaroid cameras to take photos of you folks.
I think I'm going to really have to wear a wheat sack because I can't be having photos of me semi-nude published in public.
Well, I think it's best that they are Polaroids and not iPhone photos that end up on Twitter / Facebook / everything else.
Or Pinterest as the new...
Or the Polaroid. I'm going old-fashioned.
As you should, Pearls. Always a delight to talk to you, my dear. People can find you down at the Paris end of Bourke Street, as it's known.
Ooh.
upstairs at Madame Brussels, and no doubt we'll see you at the Aphrodisiac Orgy.
Nice talking to you, boys. Have a gorgeous day.
Always a pleasure. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she's such a wicked woman, but you've just got to love her.
You can't help but love her.
And now that's on a Sunday night. Can you get the Sunday night off, Adam?
I'm working that Sunday night.
Of course you are.
Icons of the Yarra Valley.
Oh, yeah. Which
but
is...
I'd say that my dinner might be over by the...
The time the fun stuff.
Yeah, I was going to
Well,
say,
she's starting at 7 p.m.
Sneak
so
down.
Let's go back to the icons for a bit. So we've talked about what they are. How's the evening work? 5-course dinner?
Well, it actually starts at 4 p.m. So we in our upstairs room, that's where we're hosting the structured tasting. Mm-hmm. So that's where James Halliday will be taking all of our guests through the wines that each vineyard has presented, and then it's downstairs for a 5-course dinner.
And so another five wines.
Yeah.
Crikey. The structured tasting, and this is something that does scare people in some senses, that, oh, my God, I can't sit in a structured tasting with James Halliday. It's just my head will explode.
Look, I think the way that we're approaching it is it's an opportunity to taste 2 wines from 5 great producers, and it's not going to be a question sort of examination process. It's more going to be a way of someone with a terrific history of the Yarra Valley, I suppose, telling some stories.
Their knowledge.
Telling some stories about the history, but also saying, you know, this is a great example of Yarra Valley Pinot, or, you know, this Chardonnay really shows
those,
you know, these characters. So I think it'll be a wonderful instructional exercise, not so much as...
Without being too wake.
Without feeling that you're, you know, under the microscope.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, it sounds like fun, and of course, tickets still available. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. A couple of messages and another song. And this song might actually have some relation to our next guest as well. You're with Pete Dillon and Adam Cash here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Adam Cash is my guest in the studio. We're on the cycle down the hill.
It's the downhill slope.
It is. We're
it's
in the
home stretch.
The last 10 or 15 minutes of the program, and what better way to fill that space than with a fellow who knows a thing or two about cheap wine? Dan Hollywood Simmons, good afternoon.
Pete, I might be easy, but I'm definitely not cheap.
That's the second time in 24 hours that you've used that line. Now, you're up in the high country somewhere, aren't you?
I am in the high country, yeah. Speaking of downhill, the wine guide has had a little bit of a retreat for a few days of trying to get fit and healthy and actually get some work done, which has been actually productive.
All prior to the festival where you're going to put all of that health and fitness business completely out the window.
Pretty much. That's Ben Edwards yelling a bit of a hi to you as well.
I'll tell him to stop that. I'm starting to feel unwell. It's only middle of the afternoon.
Another mammal. A middle-aged man in Lycra.
Oh, see,
sweating.
I don't approve of Lycra on anybody over the age of 9.
Whoa.
Well, actually, no, I lie. Anyway, that's another show. Another show. Now, the couple of things that are happening, of course, for the Wine Guide and Sommeliers Australia, the first of which is the appropriately named Long Lunch. Adam and I did reference that earlier when we were talking about Nikki Reimer's preparations for last year's appropriately long lunch for Solms Australia.
Well, yeah, I mean, as you know, I mean, there is the long table lunch which the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival do, and the whole idea about, you know, the long lunch is that our idea of a long lunch is... well, a 5-hour long lunch. And the
delightful. Delightful.
Of course it is. And this year what we're doing is we've kind of made it a little bit interesting. And the theme is called 1DJ, 3MCs. Obviously, you know, a bit of a play off the old Beastie Boys. And basically what we're doing is we've got one chef, obviously chef per course, and we're doing 5 courses, and then 3 sommeliers per course, all choosing wine. And what they have to do... is they have to obviously pick a wine to match the dish, but they have 1 minute in front of everybody to pitch why their match is the best.
Ah, nice. Now,
and then at the end of the dish, everybody has to cheer for their favourite match.
Right, and after people have had 3 wines, they'll be cheering for everything and there'll be no decisions made
exactly.
by that. Well, that's by main course.
As you know from previous dinners, Pete, it's always, lunches, it's always a bit of a fun event. And this year it's great because we've got Ryan Flaherty from the Estelle, which is great, Benjamin Cooper from Chin Chin, Dominique from Mama Bubba, we've got Calendar Cheese, and then for dessert, the deliciously gorgeous Marsha, who's from Marsha's Sweets, who she used to be the pastry chef for Cutler & Co.
Adam, you would know Marsha?
I certainly do.
Yes. She's a great girl, so it's going to be super this year. It's all happening on Sunday, March 4th.
Yes, and...
who knows?
Well, 12 until usually the following Tuesday, from memory.
Pretty much.
Yes, and it's people can go to the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, or they can go to your website.
Well, yeah, they just go to sommeliers.com.au. It's straight on the front page, and be able to click through.
Excellent. Now, we were just talking to the very fabulous Miss Pearls from Madame Brussels. You and she do the How Not to Drink Wine Like a Wanker. Sold out in 5 minutes.
I know. It's gone huge this year. We've actually got a little secret rooftop space with a guy, architectural firm Hustle. They're so hot right now. So we're up there. We've got about 80 to 100 people, and it's going to be a bit of a hoot. And as you know, this is all about having a bit of a laugh of, you know, what makes wine wanky and making it a bit more accessible and having a bit of fun of it. But you know, there'll be some. I think there'll be some exciting.
Some serious moments.
Isms, and yes, there will be some serious moments, but also a heck of a lot of, you know, silly things as well. So it's good to laugh at yourself. We get very serious in the wine industry.
Yeah.
Sometimes nice to take a step back and go, calm down, this is just a drink, and, you know.
Well, that's, at the end of the day, it really is just a drink, isn't it?
Yes, and the alcohol happens to be...
Adam's looking at me rather perturbed.
No, no, it's there. So, it's there to be enjoyed. It is absolutely there to be enjoyed.
And it's something that we always say, you know, there's a time and a place to pontificate about wine and be all serious, and there's a time and a place to sit back and enjoy it. And, you know, this is the whole event's always really just about that.
And if you don't enjoy wine, then don't drink it. Drink beer. Drink vodka. Drink
lemon, lime and bitters.
Gin and tonic.
Yeah, okay. Gin and tonic. Bitters actually has alcohol in it.
A lot.
Yes, and I may have had a discussion with somebody who said they're allergic to alcohol, but in one night knocked back 6 or 7 lemon, lime and bitters. Would it cause an allergic reaction, do you think, Adam Cash?
I think that the quantity of bitters in your lemon, lime and bitters is such a small amount. It's a matter of a few drops per drink. And although I think the amount of alcohol in bitters is so high, it obviously forms, you know, it carries all of those botanicals in it. But, yeah, I think the quantity over such a long time, or, yeah, a good stretch would be insignificant.
Mm. Adam, Dan Sims, you like a lemon, lime and bitters?
Sorry, I fell asleep with that, sorry. Now, what are we talking about again?
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Now, what else have you guys got going on? Cause we can talk about the wine guide.
You know, there's so many events going on through the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, and one of the things...
260-something, I believe.
I know. Another thing that Sommeliers Australia is doing, and you know, is this pop-up Barolo bar, which is going to be a heck of a lot of fun. It's at the Bella Vista Social Club above Beco.
Yep.
And what we're doing for 3 nights from March 14 is we're opening some really special bottles of Barolo, and basically they're going to be at cost price.
For the uneducated, a Barolo is like
Barolo
a what?
Barolo is a red wine from the beautiful area of Piedmont in northwest Italy, and mm-hmm. the grape variety being Nebbiolo. And for those who love Italian wine, it's you know, it is really the jewel in the crown, so to speak. And some of the producers, I mean, I could rattle off a whole bunch of them, but for those people who, you know, are really into wine and want to try something that really, a lot of these wines are so, you know, we're talking, you know, $200, $300 a bottle on a wine list. You know, these are going to be ranging from anywhere between $15 to $30 a glass, and you'll actually get to actually taste these wines rather than read about them. And they've got great producers like Mussolino and Gaia, Giacomo Conterno, Vietti, Vira, Voezio, Valio, Conterno Ventino, Carome, you know, we could just keep on going.
You all sound like you've lost me for a minute there.
This is wine porn, you know. This is, you know, it's
wine about, porn.
For the bottle stroker.
Yeah, bottle stroking. This is A-plus bottle stroking.
Dan, what about Pinot Unearthed? Is anything happening this year?
Well, we are, and we've got it. We had a super event, which we're doing with the guys at La Luna, called Babies Taste Better.
Oh, I'm so excited about this event. I'm sorry, but I am very excited about it.
Babies Taste Better, and I can tell you, we've just been going over the menu, and it's been absolutely hilarious. So the idea being that, you know, obviously we're talking about food here, but we're talking about lovely, cute little suckling pigs and doe-eyed veal.
And baby goats.
Baby goat, you know, actually some small, very little baby chickens and all, baby vegetables, extra virgin oil, you know, all these type of things. So we're going to, yes, sweet baby cheeses. And
the other white meat.
Yes.
And we're going to match it with some really young and fresh and vibrant Pinot Noir.
Beautiful. And is that all Australian Pinot Noir, or are you bringing some in from across the Dutch?
There is some from across the Dutch. we were over there recently in central Otago and saw some really lovely 2010s, which is great from central Otago. I'm actually going to have some 09s from Wipra, which would be great. And it's a really fun event. It's booked out so quickly, we're actually blown away. We might have to repeat it later on in the year again.
Well, I think it's a jolly good idea. Mr. Sims, thank you for your time. I know that you've got to get back on your bike up there at Brighton, do some more exercise.
I'm avoiding it. I don't want to go up any more hills.
We have to wrap this baby up because, sadly, our hour has disappeared almost magically, Adam Cash.
It is the magic of radio, Pete.
It is. Dan, people can go to the Wine Guide, Sommeliers Australia, or indeed Pinot Unearthed websites, or can go straight to Melbourne Food and Wine and do a bit of a search for any of those events.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'll see you over the table at the long lunch.
Yes, you will.
Good on you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Dan.
Cheers.
He's such a delightful man. And that lunch, you've been involved, seriously.
I have been, and I've been there as a participant and as a consumer.
With was it last year with your mum?
My parents were a guest at the event.
Sitting
at
the table. I actually sat with your mum last year.
Yes. It was a bit of a much a family affair.
Yes. Well, Adam, we do have to wrap this up. It's been a delight to have you in the studio with me, talking through all of these events, which just, like I said, the time goes so quickly.
It's been great to be back in the studio, and after today, I'm certainly craving the Food and Wine Festival activity.
Yes. People can find you, of course, at Union Dining, 270 Swan Street.
www.uniondining.com.au.
Go and check out the new terrace. Check out Adam. We'll say goodbye, and I'll be back with you next week with some more Melbourne Food and Wine events before the festival actually starts.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.